Hey Google, play USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast.
Sure, USA Football Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Here's where you left off.
This week in the Coach and Coordinator Podcast series, we cover mental health, getting the job done on the goal line, prescriptive practices, talk to a state champion coach, and E plus R equals O. Monday, Keith talked with former FBS coach Jim Huber about punching again on the goal line and converting in short yards.
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is everybody's looking for an advantage without having to change personnel. I mean, it sticks out. It's like a sore thumb. I mean, every time you look at somebody, they're trying to play with wide receivers, get people out of the box, but then they don't have a solution to how to attack it in a running game because people are still going to cover your guards and make it hard to run. You can't get off tackle with no lead blocker. So people just have decided that run the jet sweep. I mean, you almost get appalled. I think the other day when we were talking, when you called, I told you, I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers has the bad knee. They can't run a sneak. They don't have a fullback on the team. They take the ball 7 yards deep to the tailback out of one back situation and you get hit for a safety. So they're limited by the personnel they've kept. They don't have a fullback on the roster. That one comes to mind right off the top of my head. But I think what you're saying is right. I think people are worried about whether or not if they put those people in. Now, in the situations I was in, we always relished that. We sold it as a mark of toughness. We sold that. We coached it. We spent time on it. And I think that's what it is. Are you going to invest that time in those situations with other people, or are you going to try to fit your offense from goal line to goal line?
Tuesday, Keith gets with state champion head coach David Devon about keeping it simple with his wing tee offense.
Love the young energy and the coaching staff, but sometimes it's okay. I get what you're saying, but how can we boil that down to the nuts and bolts? How can we shouldn't have to take 12 seconds to get what we want to do out of our mouth in the huddle. We shouldn't have to spend a week and a half going over a concept when installing it. We should be able to install in a fairly timely amount. So how can we boil that down to nuts and bolts, get rid of the tongue twister verbiage that everybody seems to like so much, and keep it simple with what we do? I mean, I myself have fell into that where you want to number everything and everything has this and you've got all these cool little things and we've boiled it down now to where we've just got formation and one-word plays and everybody understands what's going on. So
Wednesday, Keith and Andy get with Coach Richie Gray on deliberate practice to talk about prescriptive practices.
So when we're evaluating our film of last week's playoff game or even, you know, looking back multiple games, one of the keys for me is on special teams, we have to decide whether an error that we saw on film, was it a technical error, meaning it was a skill breakdown? Was it a tactical error, meaning someone didn't do their role appropriately? Or what I classify as a decision-making error, meaning maybe the player didn't make an appropriate read, maybe he didn't recognize that it was going to be a wall return until too late, so he was just slow in processing. And why that's so important to me is if we realized that we actually had some, we'll say, decision-making errors. A bunch of guys took the easy way out and they tried to defeat the block to the wrong direction. Well, maybe that's not actually a technique error and we don't need to go and do collision work on defeating the block in the open field. We actually need to do some VDA stuff, some chaos stuff, and get guys reading the play and making the appropriate choices.
Thursday, we hear from the sports doctors and dive into athletes and coaches' mental health.
Yeah. I mean, and that point and other points that we touched on earlier, we call it in the literature like presentation of self. You know, and there's pretty good examples on social media of either, I see it more with athletes than I do coaches, but how we present ourselves, you know, that I'm guarding the office or I'm working so hard, you know, that everything I'm doing is great and couldn't be happier. And athletes present those images out there and then, you know, next thing you know, they're in rehab or they kind of announce that they're in therapy. So we need to be careful about, you know, that presentation of self. And coaches like to present themselves as very confident, very all-knowing, and in turn, then the athletes will be confident and will perform better. You know, but the reality is, too, reducing stigma from some of these uncomfortable conversations and uncomfortable topics, you know, like violence, mental health. I saw another incident I saw in the news last week about hazing and bullying at the high school level. Putting your head in the sand and presenting yourself like everything is rosy is not really a best practice, not the most educated way of handling some of this stuff.
Friday, Brian Kite tells coaches about E plus R equals O and dealing with parents.
E plus R equals O is at the heart of life. It's at the heart of everything that we do. It's so much more than football. It's so much more than coaching. It just happens to be incredibly valuable to both coaching and to football. And for those who aren't familiar with it, and frankly, for those who are, what E plus R equals O stands for is event plus response equals outcome.
Subscribe to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and now Spotify. Don't forget to sign up for our national conference at usafootball.com/NC19podcast. Check out our blogs on blogs.usafootball.com.